Sketches by Boz, by Charles Dickens, dramatised for radio by Stephen Wyatt. Today's story, Sentiment.
And one and two and one and two and change partners and... Oh, do let go of her hand, Miss Smithers, or you'll dislocate her shoulder. And one...
Minerva House, situated in Hammersmith, was a finishing establishment for young ladies, where some 20 girls of the ages from 13 to 19 inclusive acquired a smattering of everything and a knowledge of nothing.
Now, girls, écoutez, s'il vous plaît. Je suis, tu es, il est, elle est, nous sommes, vous êtes...
The proprietors of Minerva House were the Mrs. Crumpton, two unusually tall, particularly thin personages, very upright and very yellow.
And one and two and one and two. Oh, Miss Smithers, do try not to kick out, sir.
Miss Maria Crumpton owned to 38.
Now, jeune fille, repeatez-vous après moi. Le chat est assis sur le tapis.
Miss Amelia Crumpton, meanwhile, admitted she was 40, an admission which was rendered perfectly unnecessary by the self-evident fact of her being 50 at least.
And one, and two,
et un, et deux.
And one, and two,
et uno, et deux, und ein, und zwei, et un, et deux.
Do be careful, Miss Smithers. Oh, pray don't spin so. You're bumping. Oh, we did warn you, Miss Smithers.
For both the Mrs. Crumpton and their interesting pupils, the high spots of the academic year were the half-yearly balls given at the establishment. The next ball was very imminent, and preparations, to make use of theatrical phraseology, were being made on a scale of magnitude never before attempted.
Signor Lobskini has indicated that he will attend, Maria.
Along with his violin, I trust?
He announces his intention of entertaining us with airs by Mozart.
His airs by Mozart are always very entertaining. Perhaps one might hope for him to play something else, but...
Tradition is a fine thing, Maria.
Of course, Amelia.
Mr. Dadson has accepted.
As we employ him as a teacher, Amelia, I would expect no less.
With his wife?
Oh.
A woman who dresses in green silk with shoes to match is not, to my mind, an improving model for the girls. That green silk headdress still makes me shudder when I think of it.
Mm.
Oh, dear Cousin Theodosius.
What does he say, Amelia?
Such a distinguished hand, such noble thoughts. I believe Cousin Theodosius is something of a genius.
Yes, but what does he say?
I recollect that pamphlet he sent us. Rarely have I encountered quite so many polysyllabic words in one paragraph. The effect was positively awe-inspiring.
Is he coming to the ball?
So far as I can tell, yes.
I don't understand.
Dear Cousin Theodosius has such a remarkable way of expressing himself that it is sometimes, to lesser minds, a little impenetrable.
But do you think he's coming?
Yes, I definitely think so.
Mr. Theodosius Butler was one of those immortal geniuses who are to be met with in almost every circle. He had written a pamphlet containing some very weighty considerations on the expediency of doing something or other, which had deeply impressed his cousins by its opacity. His attendance at the ball was therefore a real feather in their caps. But the best that morning was yet to come.
What is it, Amelia? What has happened?
I have received a note from an address in the Adelphi.
Oh, Amelia.
From Cornelius Brooke Dingwall, MP.
A Member of Parliament.
Yes, listen. Cornelius Brooke Dingwall, Esquire, MP, presents his compliments to Miss Crumpton and will feel much obliged by Miss Crumpton's calling on him, but if she conveniently can, tomorrow morning at 1 o'clock.
But what about me?
Patience, Maria, patience. As Cornelius Brooke Dingwall, Esquire, MP, is anxious to see Miss Crumpton on the subject of placing Miss Brooke Dingwall under her charge.
A Member of Parliament's daughter?
Exactly. A Member of Parliament's daughter.
It's exceedingly delightful. The girls will be so impressed. We must read them the letter.
Indeed we must. Such a distinguished addition to our school.
So important an event superseded all others. A holiday was declared in commemoration, in order that the Mrs. Crompton might proceed the next day to the Adelphi, dressed, of course, in their best style, and looking as amiable as they could, which, by the by, is not saying much for them.
The Mrs. Crompton to see Cornelius Brooke Dingwall, Esquire, MP.
Thank you, William. You may go.
Cornelius Brooke Dingwall, Esquire, MP, rose from the desk at which he was impressively posed. Acts of Parliament and letters directed to Cornelius Brooke Dingwall, Esquire, MP, ostentatiously covered the desk. In fact, as was usual with him, this talented individual was doing nothing but trying to look busy.
Pray enter, good ladies, and take a seat. Pray excuse the confusion of papers. My duties, you understand?
Of course.
Oh, yes, of course.
When you labour for the common good, as I do, then one's labours are never over.
I imagine they are.
So many people look to me, so many people trust in me, Miss Crumpton. It is both heartening and humbling.
Cornelius Brooke Dingwall, Esquire, MP, it has to be said, had a great idea of his own abilities, which must have been a great comfort to him, as no one else had.
Now, in view of the many pressures on my valuable time, Miss Crumpton, I hope you will excuse me from coming directly to the point.
We would be honoured, more than honoured.
I have sent for you in consequence of the high character of your establishment I have received from my good friend Sir Alfred Muggs.
We are indebted to Sir Alfred for his kind words, aren't we, Maria?
Indeed.
Now, Miss Crumpton, I must be frank with you. Mm-hmm. One of my principal reasons for parting with my daughter is that Lavinia has lately acquired some sentimental ideas which is most desirable to eradicate from her young mind.
Of course, we would be only too glad.
Now, I know nothing so likely to affect this object of eradicating these sentimental ideas as her mixing constantly in the society of girls of her own age.
Well, that would certainly be an excellent notion.
Now, as I know on no less authority than that of Sir Alfred Muggs, that in your excellent establishment she will meet such as are not likely to contaminate her young mind, I propose to send her to you.
We are honoured.
So very honoured.
Ask Miss Lavinia Brooke Dingwall to join us here, William.
Very good, sir.
Now, before my daughter joins us, I intend, of course, that Lavinia will be a parlour boarder.
Of course.
But on one point I wish my directions to be strictly observed.
Of course.
The fact is, and this is in strictest confidence.
Of course.
The fact is, some ridiculous love affair with a person much her inferior in life has been the cause of her present state of mind. Now, under your care, she can have no opportunity of meeting this person. I do not object to her mixing with such society as you see yourself. Indeed, I should rather prefer it. And, as I trust the plan I have devised will be effectual in weaning my daughter from this absurd romantic idea, Miss Crumpton, I hope you will have the goodness to comply in all respects with any request I may forward to you.
Of course.
And here is my daughter, Lavinia Brooke Dingwall, the Mrs. Crumpton.
How do you do?
What a charming girl. Isn't she, Maria?
Quite, quite charming.
This opinion was, by a singular coincidence, one that the Mrs. Crumpton always entertained of any new pupil. Not for them any comment on the most interesting expression of despair written across Miss Lavinia's face.
Now, Lavinia, everything is settled. You will be joining the Mrs. Crumpton at Minerva House the next day but one.
But Papa!
And there is to be no more of this hangdog air of yours. All is decided. I need hardly say that I, as your father, and a Member of Parliament to boot, am the best judge of what is good for you.
Yes, Papa.
Oh, a happy thought has just occurred to me.
Indeed.
The day after tomorrow is the day of our half-yearly ball. Miss Lavinia will arrive on that very day. It will be an excellent chance for her to meet all her future companions.
And lift her spirits. I mean, if they should happen to need lifting.
A ball, you say? That is very much the sort of activity I had in mind. No more brooding, eh, Lavinia?
No, Papa.
No more sodden handkerchiefs and books of poetry?
No, Papa.
And no more defiance?
No, Papa.
Well, aren't you going to tell the Mrs. Crumpton how much you are looking forward to meeting all your future soulmates at this ball?
I am really looking forward to it.
The evening of the ball duly came, and among the young ladies there was such a lacing of stays and tying of sandals and dressing of hair as never can take place with a proper degree of bustle outside of a boarding school.
How do I look, Caroline?
Oh, charming, dear Emily. How do I look?
Delightful, Caroline. You never look so handsome.
Miss Emily Wilson was the belle of the house. Miss Caroline Smithers was her bosom friend, because she was the ugliest girl in Hammersmith, or out of it.
I do hope young Mr. Hilton will come early.
But you'll never guess who else is coming.
Who?
Theodosius Butler.
Who's he?
Miss Crumpton's cousin.
Is he handsome too?
Well, not particularly handsome, but oh, so clever. He's written ever so many pamphlets, and he uses ever such long words.
Well, perhaps you should dance with him. He sounds very much your sort of beau, Caroline.
But I'm really stupid.
No, you're not. You're awfully clever.
Oh, listen, the doorbell. The guests are arriving and we're not ready.
Where are my white gloves?
Here's one of them.
Oh, where's another?
I wonder who it is.
Let's take a peek downstairs.
Yes.
It could be Mr. Hilton. I believe he's to be the master of ceremonies.
Or maybe it's Mr. Butler. He's Miss Crumpton's cousin, so maybe he'll get here early.
Come on, let's look.
Oh, what can you see?
Oh.
Who is it?
Only that MP's daughter.
Oh, her. She's never going to be our friend, is she?
Never.
Meanwhile, Miss Brooke Dingwall had made her entrance along with her boxes. She was in full ball costume, with an ivory fan in her hand, and still an expression of utter despair in her face.
My dear Miss Brooke Dingwall, we are delighted to see you. Let me get the servants to take your boxes upstairs. Robert?
Yes, ma'am.
The other girls are still getting ready, but I know they are all aching to meet you. They have heard so much about you and your distinguished father. No doubt you are aching to make their acquaintance, too. Balls are such very exciting affairs for the young, I find.
Are they?
Don't you find them so, Miss Brooke Dingwall?
Personally, I find this life nothing but a veil of tears.
Really? How very original, Miss Brooke Dingwall. Pray, do come and meet Signor Lobskini. He's our music master, you know.
Soon there were repeated pulls at the bell and arrivals too numerous to particularize. Papas and mamas and aunts and uncles, the owners and guardians of the different pupils, the pianoforte player and the violins, the harp in a state of intoxication, and some 20 young men who stood near the door and talked to one another, occasionally lapsing into a giggle. A general hum of conversation. Coffee handed round, and plentifully partaken of by fat mamas, looking like the stout people who come on in pantomimes for the sole purpose of being knocked down.
Amelia, come quickly.
What is the matter?
Mr. Dadson's arrived with his wife and...
Not the green silk dress.
I'm afraid so. And the matching headdress.
Persuade her to go and play whist in the back room as soon as you can, Maria. At least it will keep her out of sight.
Oh, how could she?
Maria.
What is it?
Has Theodosius arrived?
I haven't seen him.
I do trust he won't disappoint us. polysyllabic sentences are so impressive to the mamas, I always find.
The quadrilles commenced with considerable spirit. The young men by the door gradually advanced into the middle of the room and in time became sufficiently at ease to consent to be introduced to partners. The interesting Lavinia Brooke Dingwall was the only girl who appeared to take no interest in the proceedings.
My dear Miss Brooke Dingwall, I wondered if I might have the pleasure of introducing Mr. Huggins. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Miss Brooke Dingwall, I'm your humble servant. I wondered if I might have the pleasure of the next dance.
I'm afraid I have no wish to dance.
But why? You're an awfully pretty girl and the music is awfully jolly. Won't you say yes?
Alas, no.
Why ever not?
Because, Mr. Huggins, life to me is nothing but a cruel mockery. An empty parade of vanity and misery peopled by shadows.
Oh, I say.
In vain was Miss Brooke Dingwall solicited to dance. In vain was the universal homage paid to her as the daughter of a Member of Parliament. She was equally unmoved by Signor Lobskini's time-honoured performance of airs from Mozart. Not even the final arrival of Mr. Theodosius Butler could induce her to leave the corner of the back drawing room in which she was seated.
Theodosius! At last, we were quite worried.
Yes, I'm very sorry, Cousin Amelia, but I was wrestling with a recalcitrant paragraph.
So many people have asked after you.
Oh, that is excessively gratifying to hear. I hope some serious conversation may be had. After all, I have no Terpsichorean skills to offer to this assembly.
Then perhaps I should introduce you to our new pupil.
Oh, but I...
She is a very serious girl. Follow me.
Must I...
She is the daughter of a Member of Parliament.
An MP's daughter? What's her name?
Miss Brooke Dingwall.
Great heaven.
Miss Brooke Dingwall, may I have the honour of presenting to you Mr.
Edward,
Mr. Theodosius Butler.
Miss Brooke Dingwall, I'm charmed to make your acquaintance.
And are yours, Mr.
Butler? My cousin, Mr. Theodosius Butler. Now, I do hope, Theodosius, that you will be able to persuade Miss Brooke Dingwall to dance. She's not taken the floor all evening. I really can't let you be until she's accepted.
Miss Brooke Dingwall, please say you'll accept the offer of my hand for the next quadrille.
Mr.
Butler.
Mr. Butler, I am happy to accept.
Oh. Ah, there. That's settled. Now, if you'll excuse me...
Of course, Cousin Amelia, of course.
Oh.
Oh, I thought you'd never leave us. Oh, Edward. Edward, is it really you?
Yes, my love. Indubitably, it is I and no other.
Oh, Edward.
Oh, Lavinia.
But tell me, Edward.
Yes?
Why this disguise? Oh, Edward McNeville Walter, what I have suffered on your account.
Lavinia, hear me.
I cannot.
Nay, do not condemn me unheard, I beg you.
Oh, Edward. If only I could believe you had good reason for your behaviour.
Then listen. If anything that emanates from the soul of such a wretch as I can occupy a place in your recollection, if any being so vile deserve your notice...
Yes?
Then you may recall a pamphlet entitled Considerations on the Policy on Removing the Duty on Beeswax.
Oh, all too well.
I both wrote that pamphlet and paid for its publication.
You wrote it?
Alas, I did.
But that is the subject to which my father has devoted heart and soul. The importance of the retention of the duty on beeswax has been his constant theme.
If only I had known then. But alas, I foolishly forwarded your father a copy of my work advocating the removal of duty.
I still shudder at his rage upon receiving it.
After that blunder, could I ever have disclosed my real name to him or you? Never. Instead, when I approached you, I assumed that name which you have so often pronounced in tones of endearment. As Neville Walter, I devoted myself to the stirring cause. As Neville Walter, I gained your heart.
Oh, too, too true.
And in the same character, I was ejected from your house by your father's domestics, because Edward Neville Walter was apparently a nobody without money or reputation. But how could I tell you the truth when your father hated the very sound of my real name? However, chance has brought us together again, and I proudly own that I am Theodosius Butler, author of Considerations on the Policy of Removing the Duty on Beeswax.
Oh, Edward. Theodosius, I mean.
May I hope that the promise your father's violent behavior interrupted may now be renewed?
We really should join this set. Miss Crumpton expects
No, no, I stir not from this spot, writhing under this torture of suspense.
People are looking.
Let them just tell me. May I hope?
You may.
The promise is renewed.
It is.
I have your permission.
You have?
To the fullest extent.
You know it.
Oh, rapture. Rapture.
Now, let us go and dance.
Look, Mariah, look. And she was so miserable when she arrived. The magic of Minerva House, Mariah.
The Mrs. Crumpton watched in delight as Mr. Theodosius and Miss Lavinia danced and talked and sighed for the rest of the evening. The respectable ladies were so entranced that Mrs. Dadson escaped from the whist table and succeeded in displaying her green silk outfit in the most conspicuous part of the drawing room without them noticing. Miss Emily Wilson danced with young Mr. Hilton all night, and Miss Caroline Smithers had the inestimable pleasure of watching her. So, all in all, the evening was generally counted a great success.
Goodbye, Mr. Huggins.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Bonsall and Mrs. Bonsall.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, and thank you so much for coming.
Exhausted but happy, the Mrs. Crumpton retired to their respective rooms for a well-deserved rest and an opportunity to remove the quantity of false hair they wore on such occasions. Their charming young pupils also retired to think of ribbons, billets doux, and young gentlemen.
Miss Crumpton, sir.
It was a fortnight after the date of the ball. Cornelius Brook Dingwall, Esquire, MP, was at his desk. Before him, a bill for the better observance of Easter Monday.
Miss Crumpton, come in. Take a seat.
Thank you.
A more observant man than Cornelius Brook Dingwall, Esquire, MP, might have noticed that Miss Crumpton was remarkably ill at ease.
Miss Crumpton, I am much obliged to you for your attention in calling this morning.
It is nothing.
No, no, I should have driven down to Hammersmith to see Lavinia, but my duties in the house, of course, occupy me so much that I determined to postpone it for a week. So, how has she gone on?
She's gone on very well indeed, sir.
Ah, I thought the plan on which I proceeded would be a match for her.
Indeed, very much a match.
Now, you have, I trust, Miss Crumpton, persevered strictly in the line of conduct I prescribed?
Strictly, sir.
You told me in your note that her spirits have much improved.
Very much indeed. Beyond all measure. Mariah and I were amazed.
To be sure, I was convinced they would.
Except...
Except what?
I fear, sir, the plan has not succeeded quite so well as we would have wished.
No?
No.
Bless me, Miss Crumpton, you look alarmed. What has happened?
Miss Brook Dingwall, sir...
Yes, ma'am?
...has gone, sir.
Gone?
Eloped, sir.
Eloped? Who with? When? Where? How? Don't just stand there gaping, Miss Crumpton.
This This small packet, which Miss Brookdingwall left behind, will, I think, explain everything.
Oh, this is your doing, Miss Crampton.
No, I protest.
This infamous pamphleteer is your cousin.
But they're very well-written pamphlets.
Well-written they may be, but they are also misguidedly, criminally, fatuously wrong, Miss Crampton. Listen. Dearest father, etc., etc., this reaches you, we'll be far distant, etc., etc. I appeal to your feelings, etc., etc. Theodosius Butler, etc., etc., love him to distraction.
Well, then, perhaps...
I'm not done yet. Love to distraction, etc., etc. Slavery, if not. Pamphlets. Beeswax.
Oh.
From this time forward... I never will, under any circumstances whatever, permit a man who writes pamphlets to enter any room of this house but the kitchen.
But...
I mean it.
But surely you will not cut your daughter off without a shilling.
I will do as I please.
Consider the social scandal.
Very well. I will allow my daughter and her husband £150 a year.
Ah.
And never see their faces again.
Oh...
But as for you, madam, with your pamphleteering cousin, I hold you and your sister fully responsible.
Oh, really? We had no idea.
You are solely to blame. And I don't need to remind you, madam, that I, Cornelius Brook Dingwall, Esquire, am a member of Parliament. Damn me, ma'am, I'll bring in a bill for the abolition of finishing schools.
No!
Mr. and Mrs. Butler are at present rusticating in a small cottage at Ball's Pond, pleasantly situated in the immediate vicinity of a dust heap.
Theodosius! Theodosius! Supper's ready!
Mr. Theodosius looks very important and writes incessantly. But in consequence of some gross conspiracy on the part of publishers, none of his productions appear in print.
And one and two and early, early, early. Careful, Miss Smithers. Careful!
At Minerva House, the Mrs. Crumpton remain in the peaceable and undisturbed enjoyment of all the advantages resulting from their finishing school. The young ladies still acquire a smattering of everything and a true knowledge of nothing. Cornelius Brook Dingwall, Esquire, MP's bill to abolish finishing schools does not, for the moment, appear likely to reach the statute books.
And one, two, and one, two, and one, two.
But then, after all, he will not be the last politician to promise a great deal more than he could deliver.
In Sentiment, Miss Amelia Crumpton was played by Jane Booker, and Miss Maria Crumpton by Patience Tomlinson. Cornelius Brook Dingwall MP was played by Gerard Murphy, his daughter Lavinia by Tilly Gaunt, and Theodosius Butler by Michael Muller. Emily Wilson was Elizabeth Conboy, and the footman, Harry Myers. The voice of Boz was Nicholas Farrell. Sketches by Boz is dramatised by Stephen Wyatt and directed by Sally Avens.